Good morning. The readings this morning are both from 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of the tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. And the next reading is in chapter 14, verses 1 to 19, and again it's from the NIV. Intelligibility in worship. Follow the ways of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be edified. Now, brothers and sisters, if I come to you and speak in tongues, what good will it be to you, unless I bring some revelation, or knowledge, or prophecy, or word of instruction? Even in the case of lifeless things that make sounds, such as the pipe or harp, how will anyone know what tune is being played unless there is a distinction in the notes? Again, if the trumpet does not sound a clear call, who will get ready for battle? So it is with you. Unless you speak intelligible words with your tongue, how will anyone know what you are saying? You will be just speaking into the air. Undoubtedly, there are all sorts of tongues in the world, yet none of them is without meaning. Then I do not grasp the meaning of what someone is saying. I am a foreigner to that speaker, and the speaker is a foreigner to me. So it is with you. Since you are eager for gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church. For this reason, the one who speaks in a tongue should pray that they may interpret, that they say, "For I pray in the tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, but I will sing with my understanding." Otherwise, when you are praising God in the Spirit, how can anyone else who is now put in the position of an inquirer say, "Amen," to your thanksgiving, since they do not know what you are saying. You are giving thanks well enough, but no one else is edified. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you, but in the church I would rather speak 5 intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Amen.
So thanks, Pat, for that reading. I know it was a long reading, but you read it beautifully. So thank you so much for doing that. So we come to actually the end of our current teaching series this Sunday. It's a series on the Holy Spirit, the person, the power, the presence, but also the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And if you've been with us at all at any point over these last couple of months, I hope that you've either discovered or rediscovered something new about the Holy Spirit, something that encourages you about the way in which he builds us up. He equips us, he anoints us, and he empowers us and releases us to follow Jesus more effectively, both individually, but also in the life of the church as we're involved in the mission of God in our local communities. And today we're going to be looking at the last of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that the Apostle Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 12. And in particular, we're going to be looking at the gift of tongues and the interpretation of tongues. Now, of all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, surely the subject of tongues has to be one of the most talked about and written about within church circles. From the rise of Pentecostalism in the early 1900s through to the emergence of the charismatic movement in the 1960s, there has been so much debate and discussion about the role and the use of spiritual gifts within the modern church, and especially so around the gift of tongues. And so it's really interesting to note that no such debate was needed around the time of the start of the early church. I mean, from Paul's letter to the church in Corinth, it is so clear that the Christians there were experiencing and exercising all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, including the gifts of tongues. Although Paul also has to write to them to set out some of the guidelines concerning its use within the church, because it's quite clear that the Corinthians weren't using it correctly. So what is this gift of tongues that Paul spends so much time writing about in the passage that we had read to us? Well, I think simply put, the gift of tongues is the practice of supernaturally praying or singing or talking fluently in a language that wasn't actually learnt by the speaker. It's been given to the speaker through the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that signs would follow all of those who believed in him, that they would be able to speak with new tongues. Mark chapter 16, verse 17. So the gift of tongues then is an act of worship. It's spoken to God and not man. And it can be in a humanly recognisable language, such as the experience at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, when the disciples began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them to do. And it's really interesting to hear that part of the crowd thought that they were drunk, whilst a number in the crowd heard them speak in their own languages. But it can also be in some unknown or some unrecognisable language. You know, I love the way Paul puts it in chapter 14, verse 2. He puts it so poetically when he says, "This is an utterance of the mysteries of the Spirit." It's an unrecognisable language. It's an unknown language. The gift of tongues is a gift given both to individuals, but also for the benefit of the church. It's given to an individual to praise God in different ways. You know, the gift of tongues gives a greater awareness of the Spirit's presence, and it opens up a new dimension to the way in which worship to God is expressed. You know, Paul says that it deepens, it builds up the spiritual life of a believer. Chapter 14, verse 4. because it bypasses the constraints of our minds. It allows us to articulate our praise better because it flows out without constraint from our innermost being, from our very spirit. Some commentators have put it this way, in that it allows those who have the gift of tongues to express the inexpressible. I love that. I love that description. It allows those who have the gift of tongues to express the inexpressible. But it's also a gift, as I say, that is given to the church for the benefit of the church so that it can be strengthened and it can be built up. It's a sign for unbelievers regarding the power and the presence of God. And it comes through the gift of interpretation so that they too can hear and understand. You know, Pentecost was an undeniable new supernatural sign to those outside the church that God was in the midst of the believers, speaking in different languages and being heard in the very same languages that they had. And so when Peter then gets up to talk about the gospel and salvation, we read that 3,000 were saved that very day. We also see separately in Acts chapter 10 about the house of Cornelius. And it was an amazing confirmation of God's favour, not only on the Jewish nation, but of course on the Gentiles, on the world in general, because the Holy Spirit came and empowered this Roman household to begin to speak in tongues and to praise God. For Paul, this is where the real importance of the gift of tongues lies. You know, personal praise, says Paul, is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And whilst he would like everyone to be able to speak in tongues, he would nonetheless still rather receive the gift of prophecy or see the gift of tongues with the gift of interpretation, because it's through these gifts that the church is built up, as they can be understood by others as well as the speaker themselves. You know, there are many languages in the world, says Paul, and just as people who speak in a different language can rarely understand someone else, so it can be with speaking in tongues. You know, Paul says, even though I speak in tongues more than all of you, I would still rather speak 5 words in the church so that the hearers can understand rather than 10,000 they cannot. Verse 19 in chapter 14. And that's why the gift of interpretation as well as the gift of tongues is so important. You know, many of us, I'm sure, have gone abroad for our holidays. We've gone into foreign lands. I used to travel abroad on work as well. And when I went out to places like Asia, I always used to travel with an interpreter, because I couldn't understand the language, be it Taiwanese, be it Mandarin, or whatever else it was that was being spoken to me. I needed to be able to understand so I could respond, so I could fully engage in the conversation. I guess today we have Google Translate or something of the equivalent. But with the gift of tongues, unless someone is able to interpret it, then actually it's just simply there for the individual to express their praise and the worship, which is a wonderful thing, but it doesn't do anything for anyone else. You know, the way that the Corinthian church was speaking out in tongues in church, they were helping no one, because it was disorderly and believers didn't understand what was being said, and neither did those who were outside the church. You just simply thought them crazy. The gift of tongues, as I say, is a wonderful thing for building up the church. But I don't know what your experience perhaps is of the gift of tongues. I know when I first started going to church and I heard the gift of tongues being spoken, I have to say it was quite a quite an unsettling experience. It was a bit of a shock. Nothing had prepared me to hear what I heard. And I can well understand then these comments that we find in at Pentecost and elsewhere, that people who don't understand, who don't get an interpretation, just think that it's a matter of babbling and unrecognisable words most often. Perhaps it's no wonder then that Paul says later on in that chapter, verses 27 and 28, that if the gift of tongues is exercised, then only two or three at most should speak out their tongues in church. And only then, if the gift of interpretation is available. You know, if there is no interpretation, then, says Paul, the speaker should simply remain quiet in church and speak between themselves and God. And in doing so, he means that the sign doesn't get discredited or misunderstood by those who are outside the church. So what is it then that we can say about these spiritual gifts, the gifts of tongues, the gift of interpretation, that we can learn from, that we can bring into our own lives, in our own spiritual journeys today? Well, I think there are three things that I would highlight from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, and specifically about spiritual gifts. The first is, Paul says, that we should eagerly desire these gifts. You know, the gifts are given solely by God the Spirit. He himself is the source of all of these spiritual gifts, and they're good gifts. They're gifts of blessing. That's why we should eagerly desire them. We shouldn't be unsettled by them. We shouldn't be fearful of them. We shouldn't be anxious about using them. Because they come from God the Spirit, then they're good gifts, and they're to bless us individually as we exercise those gifts. But more importantly, we will bless the church as well. We will build the church, and we will be, with the gifts of tongues and interpretation of tongues, we'll be a sign of God's presence for those who are outside the church. Of course, not everyone has the same gift. You may eagerly desire a gift, but ultimately it's God the Spirit who determines what gift is given and when it is given. You know, Paul talks about the spiritual gifts in chapter 12, but there are so many more spiritual gifts that are mentioned throughout the Bible. And I'm sure that there are even some that aren't specifically mentioned within the Bible as well. God the Spirit is the one who determines who gets what. You know, the fact that you don't get the gift of tongues, the fact that you don't get the gift of the interpretation of tongues, doesn't somehow mean that you're not saved. It's not a question of salvation. It's not a question of faith. The fact that you don't have necessarily the gift that you desire doesn't mean that you're any less a Christian than someone else. It's very clear that all of these gifts are gifts given by God the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and they are all equally and wonderfully a blessing for the individual and for the church. And perhaps it is then that's where we need to start today. For some of us, do we eagerly desire the gifts? Do you want the gifts? If you want the gifts, then you need to pursue God. You need to ask God. You know, James says in the book of James, chapter 4, you do not have because you do not ask. And so this morning, perhaps it is that you just need to ask for those gifts. Ask to be baptized by the Spirit afresh and to be given a gift of the Spirit to exercise for the glory of God, for the building up of the church, and for your own spiritual walk. The second thing that I think comes out of Paul's teaching is that the purpose of the gift of tongues and the gift of the interpretation of tongues, as well as all of the other spiritual gifts, is for building up. It's for edification, as I said. They are for the church, both to build up the church and to act as a sign to draw others who are outside of the church to God, so that they become part of God's family. In this way, the gifts can be used to glorify God. That's why Paul was urging those Corinthians to use those spiritual gifts to help them grow in spiritual power and effectiveness and influence the city around them. If a person has the gift of speaking in tongues, for instance, then they should also be praying for the gift of interpretation. And the reason for that, says Paul, is that they themselves should be able to know or to better understand what was said so that they could tell others as well. What we learn about the gift of tongues is that we need to have the gift of interpretation if it's to be used as a sign for those who are outside the church, and to draw others into the church so that the church is built up. And this is Paul's reference to engaging not just the spirit, but the mind as well. The gift of interpretation is about engaging the mind. Yes, we've talked about the gift of tongues being something that comes from our innermost being. It's a supernatural gift that allows us to express what's in our heart, what's in our spirit. But actually, we need to engage the mind as well, says Paul, so that we understand what we're saying and we're able to tell others. We need the gift of the interpretation of tongues as well. So when we pray for the gift of tongues, let's also pray for the gift of the interpretation of tongues as well. And the final thing that we learn about these spiritual gifts are that as important as they are, they all need to be exercised in a spirit of love. You know, God is love, says Paul. And it's that glue that binds us all together as his church. And it's demonstrated by serving and seeking the best of the other first. You know, Paul in chapter 12 sets out what these spiritual gifts are. And they're wonderful gifts to be bestowed on individuals and the church. But then his next part, his next chunk of the letter goes to explain what love really is all about. You know, says Paul, great faith, acts of dedication and sacrifice and miracle work in power actually produce very little without love. They become self-serving. And it's clear that he's writing that to the church in Corinth that were exercising these gifts for their own gain. It's love, says Paul, that transforms our actions and makes them useful for his kingdom. The Bible tells us that we all have different gifts, and yet one day these spiritual gifts, these gifts of the Holy Spirit, won't be needed because Jesus will return and the whole of creation will be renewed. Yet the things that do endure, says Paul, those things that start in this life but run on throughout eternity are faith, hope and love. And the greatest of these is love, because it unites us to God, and through God's love we can love others as well. It's love that ultimately identifies us and the church as children of God. And it's that foundation of love from which all of the spiritual gifts, including the gifts of tongues and the interpretation of the tongues, have value both for the individual, but more importantly for the church as well. So as you reflect upon this series, I just want to repeat again what I said almost at the start, that I pray that you would have caught a fresh glimpse of something of the power and the presence, the person and the gifts of the Holy Spirit that are available to each and every follower of Jesus today. You know, it's a wonderful power. It's a power that sustains us in the good times, and it's a power that sustains us in the tough times as well, because God is with us. God dwells within us by the power of the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. And it's he that holds us in his hand. You know, it's a power that equips the church for acts of service. It's a power that draws those from outside the church closer to God, because it's assigned to them as well. It's a power that brings about God's kingdom as we serve in God's mission alongside him. And it's a power for each and every one of us that transforms us, that changes us more into the likeness of Jesus day by day if we allow it. It's a power that brings us freedom and a fullness in life. That same power that raised Jesus from the grave is available to each and every one of us today. And if you want that power but you don't know that power, then it's very simple. You need to place your faith and your trust in Jesus alone for your eternal salvation. And Scripture says that you will be filled by the Holy Spirit, a down payment of your future inheritance. But if you need more of that power in your life, then pursue God, pray to God, and he is the one who will give you great gifts, gifts of the Holy Spirit, gifts to build you up, but to build the church up as well. So it just leaves me to say at the end of this series, come Holy Spirit, come and fill your people afresh. For your glory we pray. Amen. So it would be good just to respond in a time of prayer where we can lift our hearts to God, where we can ask for the infilling of the Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit afresh on us, that we can pray and eagerly desire those gifts and pursue God for them. Let's spend time in his presence. Let's be present in his presence, and let's ask God to come and to fill us afresh. Let's pray. So Holy Spirit, we just thank you. We thank you for your presence with us. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for the way in which you lead us and guide us, that you comfort us, that you give us knowledge, that you give us gifts that are there to build us up spiritually, but are there to build your church up as well. And Lord, as we reflect on all that we have heard about you, all that we have learnt afresh about you, we simply pause now and we lift our prayers to you. We lift our prayers of petition for people that are on our heart. We lift up our prayers that you would fill us with your power, that you would grant us the gifts of your Spirit, that we might be more effective for your kingdom. So Lord, now we just pause, we pray in the silence, and we lift our prayers to you now. And Lord, I pray for those who perhaps don't know you yet, that they don't know Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. Lord, I pray that for those who want to know you better, that you would draw close to them. For those who want to give their lives to you, I just pray that they would reach out to you and say, come Jesus, come and fill my life afresh. Come and be the Lord of my life and grant me the Holy Spirit to live within me, to transform me, to change me, to give me a life of freedom and a life of fullness. We thank you that you are a God who saves, and we thank you that you are a God who equips and empowers us. And so, Lord, we bring our prayers to you now and pray you would come and fill us afresh, and that you would do what only you can do in and through the lives of your people. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And we pray that in the name of God the Father, who loves us, God the Son, who gave his life for us, and God the Spirit, who lives within us now. Amen.